The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, quarter three, July 1. Back to work Monday edition. How you doing, Dom?
Crudy, welcome to the second half of the year. Good to see you, man. Happy days. Rich, working the board, working the sound, taking the phones at 844-967-2789.
Presidential immunity.
Yeah.
The U.S. Supreme Court is, what, made Trump some sort of king?
Well, they've made Joe Biden some sort of king, and presumably they've certainly made the executive branch much more powerful, I guess, because that's necessary.
SEAL Team 6, stand back and stand by.
Stand by.
We're going to dive more into this ruling that's been delayed all the way to the final day of the U.S. Supreme Court term. This immunity for Donald J. Trump, because Trump's the only alleged felon, convicted felon, former president. It's the only one they really care about at this point. And not only is this an incredible ruling, you know, like WTF sort of incredible.
Oh, for real. Another one coming out of the Supreme Court.
Not only that, Don, but it's just one more sand kicked in the face of democracy and the liberals around here, and, you know, I would say by extension, the Devil's Advocates radio show. Feel like they're targeting us.
I don't know, man. It you know, this combined with all these other cases as well, especially from this term, man. It seems like we're just constantly the rewriting, like everything that we knew, at least what I knew, what I understood, what I thought to be, you know, normal process of self-governance is now just like throwing it all out. It's gonna be this, it'll be that. I'm even talking about Roe, talking about Chevron, talking about absolute immunity. I mean, this is a consequential Supreme Court.
No man above the law, except the president. Now, I'm gonna go run for president, Dan, because apparently the perks, the upside.
Oh, man.
You it never just have got to leave, really, right? Really good.
If you can challenge an election as part of your official act, can you ever really, you know, leave office? I mean, is Joe going to leave office now? Why would he?
Well, we'll have to send that down to the lower courts and relitigate it up and down the ladder for months, maybe years, Dom. By 2026, we should have a ruling on that. If, of course, Trump doesn't win re-election and completely squash the investigation of Donald Trump being done at the Department of Justice. Because apparently, didn't they also talk about the presumed innocence of the president? And if I understood correctly, Roberts basically alludes to the fact that he's an executive branch officer and he can direct his attorney general to investigate his political foes. That would be somehow construed as a...
Well, whether or not he directs his attorney general, the Department of Justice, which is under his constitutional purview, whether or not he does, you can't ask him about it.
Well, I guess that would be the immunity thing, the presumed immunity. We've just got to presume that he's not guilty. Have you met the man? Well, they have. Three of these six U.S. Supreme Court justices that are going to be on the wrong side of history, Dom. Well, they were appointed by the man. So that is consequential.
And Alito and Thomas did not, obviously, They did participate. They did not
recuse
themselves whatsoever, you know. So, I mean, perhaps it is proper to fly the American flag upside down now.
It is quite troubling. We're going to have an attorney, sort of the consummate Wisconsin insider, Chuck Walla, joining me here in the studios at 4:30 today.
Oh, nice.
You know, sort of where politics meets the legal system. That's where Chuck Walla found himself once upon a time, Dom. And we're going to lean on his legal expertise and, you know, kind of get his interpretation of no man above the law, except former President Trump, apparently. I mean, what a lifeline they've thrown this guy, the Supreme Court. Chuck Walla in studio at 4:30. You're going to want to stick around for him. Let's turn our attention, though, to what's happening closer to home in the short run, Dom. James Clyburn, the congressman from South Carolina, and you remember Clyburn, he famously endorsed Joe Biden. And he went and talked to Joe Biden at a primary debate in South Carolina and effectively told Joe Biden, you got to put, what, a black woman on the Supreme Court? And Joe Biden made the pledge, and Joe Biden carried through with that pledge. And she was part of the three in dissent today. But anyways, he, James Clyburn, this very influential man that threw his weight behind Joe Biden and effectively helped him win the presidential nomination in 2020, well, he's on the stump in Milwaukee today in support of President Joe Biden's reelection, as many Democratic voters worry about the president's age and ability to inspire enthusiasm after a tough debate performance last week. Joe have a bad debate? I hadn't noticed.
It was not great.
Clyburn, a South Carolina Democrat whose endorsement of Biden in 2020 was instrumental to his campaign, met with faith leaders, voting rights activists, and local officials for a roundtable discussion at Coffee Makes You Black, a black-owned business and community space. Now, Clyburn is a top Biden ally and has stood behind the president after the debate, as have local officials like Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson. We've got some coverage on that as well, Dom. Clyburn has said he recognized, call it preparation overload. I said, Joe Biden looked crisp. As soon as Biden answered the first debate question, here's a quote from Clyburn. Nothing is wrong with his brain. The people who looked at the answers from both candidates came to the conclusion that on substance, Joe Biden was the winner, far and away. Joe Biden has never been a show horse. He's always been a workhorse. Just the opposite is true of his opponent. I would call Trump more of a draft horse, draft dodging horse. Please continue, Dom.
Trudy Clyburn said he's not spoken to Biden since the debate, but will speak with him in the next day or two and tell him to stay the course. NBC News included Clyburn in a list of senior Democrats in Congress who have privately expressed concerns about Biden's viability, despite all publicly backing the president. Spokeswoman for Clyburn said any reports alleging Clyburn has expressed anything other than firm support of the president are completely untrue. Now, Clyburn's visit comes days after the Maryland Governor Westmore visited Wisconsin with similar goals, including rallying black voters in Milwaukee who've expressed little enthusiasm for a rematch of the 2020 election between Biden and Trump. Like Moore, Clyburn and County Executive David Crowley sought to draw a contrast between what Biden has delivered for black voters and Trump's tone during the debate, including his comments about undocumented immigrants taking black jobs or Hispanic jobs. Crowley called out Trump's comment at the beginning of the roundtable, saying his black job allowed him to open a new pickleball court in the county earlier in the morning. He also backed Biden during the roundtable conversation. The appearance does not matter when you look at the substance of what was being talked about, Crowley said. There's a stark contrast relating to governing under Trump and governing under Biden. Biden is speaking to the future. He's speaking to the soul and spirit of America. Now, leaders at the roundtable said the voters need to understand the connection between Biden's presidency and the policies that affect them, like reduced insulin costs and funding for construction projects and lead service line replacement. Now, in a statement, Republican Party Wisconsin spokesman Matt Fisher suggested voters will instead be thinking about inflation and immigration. Republicans have been taking steps to engage black voters in Milwaukee, including opening a new office in the Harambee neighborhood to boost outreach. Clyburn's coronation of Joe Biden in the 2020 Democratic primary has opened the door of 4 years of rising prices, open border policies. This November, Wisconsinites will close the door and restore American prosperity and security, Fisher said.
Well,
black voter turnout fell in 2016 to around 58%, and then again to around 51% in 2020. Black voters carry the voting power to deny Democratic victories if turnout in the black neighborhoods is down. And voters interviewed by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this cycle didn't express broad enthusiasm for Biden.
I like the leadership in Milwaukee right now. Two young leaders, David Crowley and Chevy Johnson. And here's what Johnson said on Friday. A lot more confidence in the man than I demonstrated. Joe Biden has left Democrats across the nation unsettled. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson doubled down on his support for Biden's campaign for a second term in the White House and expressed confidence in the president's ability to do the job. Chevy said this, "I continue to support President Joe Biden, and I think he laid out a vision for America that is inclusive of all people and not this dark dystopian future that we saw from Donald Trump." Now, Biden spoke softly and haltingly at various points, seeming to lose his train of thought during the 90-minute CNN debate last Thursday. It has been widely seen as an opportunity for Biden to allay voters' concerns that the 81-year-old was fit for the job. The debate performance apparently left a few questions, Tom. And we know the state of Wisconsin always close, 21,000, the margin of victory. But Johnson on Friday, this again before the weekend, said he had met Biden on numerous occasions and said he was confident in the president's mental acuity. The man is sharp. He knows his stuff. He knows exactly what's going on. He is very competent, and he knows how to do the job. We are experiencing the successes of the Biden administration. And it was pointed out, Biden was on fire at the post-debate watch party in Atlanta, said Johnson, who has been a vocal advocate for Biden's re-election. I less so. Folks, we are the devil's advocates. You know, there was some interesting information put out there by David Crowley, the Milwaukee County executive, another young black leader, bragging about the Biden successes for the black community. Now, Trump, by contrast, was on the debate stage talking about Mexicans taking black jobs, you know, because he really appreciates the community.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a going home. My baby just wrote me a letter.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocate Radio Show. Happy Monday to us all. Join us on the lines anytime today, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I started my day the earliest today, probably in about 2 years. Very early
How
start.
Early?
Yes.
How early is that?
I was up by 4:30, out of bed by 4:30.
Start your day out of bed. So you consider starting your day once you get your ass out of bed. That's the day start.
As today would have it. Yeah, man. Right. I had stuff
that's
to do
early for you,
hit
man.
The road, go get Kelsey Kid. Our lovely. My stepdaughter, our daughter, I got to raise her as my daughter, home from Los Angeles. And she's home with her beau, Dom, Tanner, this long-haired hippie-looking fella. Nice young guy.
I love the hippies, man.
Well, you know, he's a handsome young guy. But works for the Rivian Car Company. Didn't know much about them, but
I just heard, although I didn't see it, that they just got a big influx investment from
Volkswagen,
right?
Yeah, five billion.
Billions, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he is, and she's very proud of his new, and he's still in the training phase, but apparently very competitive field, and Rivian is a growing company while Tesla has been firing people, apparently. They're not investing Tesla, that is, in their charging stations anymore. And this guy is on the cutting edge of install for Rivian Corporation. So had a lot of competition for the job, apparently. You know, a lot of Tesla guys looking for new work, apparently. Yeah, right. Must be like that over at Twitter as well. And anyways, I'm so glad to have her home. But I got to tell you, my ass is dragging a little bit like Joe Biden must have been last Thursday night.
Come on, man. You're going to lose your chain of thought today. Well, the good news is you got me here, man.
I've already done it once. I already lost my chain of thought in the first 15 minutes of the radio show, Dom. So I take it all back then?
Exactly.
I put all the toothpaste really back in the tube.
You know, time heals lots of things. You know, it's been a few days, you know, a weekend in there. And are you still feeling the same way, man? I mean, the Dems, I mean, they're bringing out the guns, man. Clyburn, Wes Moore, the local pals. This effort to draft Big Gretchen Whitmer from Michigan. She's pushing back on that, denying
that. We've
got
some reporting from that as well.
Have you heard of any Dems, local, national, otherwise, elected Dems that are saying things like Carville has presumably been saying that Biden should step down?
Former electeds, Tom Harkin. I saw Tom Harkin say it. He was from Iowa, I think a senator. But, and I think he was also ag secretary for a while. In terms of current people calling out Joe Biden, no, I think that would be gauche. Current electeds. He still is on your team, and he is the presumptive head of the party. And I would point out something that Joe Biden does control right now, the war chest. That's Joe's money. Joe controls that money. He's not going to be forced out. Whoever forced Joe out would start with zilch, zero. No infrastructure, no money. So it's implausible, impossible, if there's not some support from the candidate himself, Dom. And I didn't say he would step aside. I said I thought maybe he should. I think he will remain in the race. I am very concerned about the future of the presidential race. And in many, many ways, I'm concerned about up and down the ticket, Dom. If we go below 50% black voter turnout in Milwaukee, what happens then? What happens then to the state of Wisconsin? It's not going to be good. It's not going to be a blue wall.
It's not going to be. That's not certainly not going to be a blue wall. No question. And that goes to the enthusiasm again. 58% in 2016, 51% in 2020.
And I would remind people that Bob Spindel, still a Wisconsin elections commissioner, is also an inside baseball guy for the Republican Party, and bragged about the fact that they use Black Talk Radio in Milwaukee to help suppress black votes. Hell, they thought they suppressed 38,000 black and Latino votes. And really what they're saying is 38,000 less people came out of Milwaukee to vote from those demographics in the 2022 midterms. From 18 to 22, they lost 38,000 voters out of Milwaukee. Now, can that all be attributed to negative campaigns on right-wing talk radio? I'm not sure that they have the power, but I see, who is it, Terry Lowe and a few of the others? They're starting to throw in for the Republican Party. And I don't know how much an endorsement of that sort would cost, but there are people willing to sell out to the Republicans, sell out their communities, and they're doing it. And all it has to do is have a suppressive effect on Milwaukee County voters. I mean, if we see a further diminishment in the turnout of the vote, there's only so much we can do here in Dane County. The overvote has carried a lot of elective races. And for a while, it was Madison and Milwaukee. But if it's not going to be Milwaukee anymore, Madison can only carry so many votes, man. We're up to almost full voter participation in this county.
So do you discount the Clyburn reach out, the Westmore reach out?
No, I think if I was Joe Biden's campaign, thank God I got good friends. Thank God I got people standing with me like the mayor, Chevy Johnson. Thank God I got James Clyburn. He wouldn't be the president in the first place without the endorsement of James Clyburn down in South Carolina. But I would point out that's not going to help him win a presidential election. Not in South Carolina. Those are red column delegates. Joe's not winning South Carolina. So, you know, what can The impact be, well, I would say Chevy Johnson may have more influence. And actually, David Crawley, there's a interesting factoid. David Crawley out there bragging about the involvement of black businesses, the creation of small black businesses under the Biden administration. That's the narrative they should be telling.
Yeah.
Because from the governance point of view, the actual governance, if the real record is told, the governance record is a hell of a lot better than the debating performance of this candidate.
Without question.
You know, so that's where the story has to be told.
And again, but they're talking about the content, as we talked about right afterwards. You know, if you look at compare what was said from Biden and what was said by Trump, they're entirely different worlds, man.
I think very few people watched it from stem to stern. It was too damn hard to watch. But the policies, the surrogates, oh, they're out there, and Joe Biden's got all the best friends. 844-967-2789. We got good friends as well. Chuck Qualla joining us in about an hour. You could call us right now.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. July, man, I can't believe we have turned a calendar month. Isn't the 4th of July sort of the unofficial midpoint of summer? Are we already at the halfway point of summer, dude? I thought the solstice was June 21st.
It was. That's why the days are getting shorter. Better go out and enjoy it while you can, but take the devils with you everywhere you go.
You know, unfortunately, we were quite busy this weekend, both you and I. Well, I'll speak for myself. I had a similar activity that you had on the weekend, but we were unable to join our college buddies at the Brewers game. And so I sent the tickets along, and Hicks and Grumpy and Chad and some of those guys used those tickets.
Excellent.
And then they apparently broke the escalators.
I know, man. What?
I texted
him. Made the national news. Come on.
What'd you do? That would have been a little scary. You know, leaving the game, a little shaky. Probably had a couple cocktails, beers. Brewers lost to the Cubs. That's the only game they lost to the Cubs all weekend. Good thing we weren't there. But just think. Rolling up the big game. Heading out to the car. Oh, let's take the escalator down. I hope this crowd hurries up. I got somewhere to be. I hope I can use the bathroom. And all of a sudden, shaking. And then they said it just descended like a roller coaster. And apparently 6 people injured, 1 broken femur. That's pretty substantial. Ooh. That's the upper leg. Ouch. That's a substantial bone injury. But anyways, glad it wasn't me.
I guess. Thank you.
We would all need
a story. Rich and compelling.
Maybe we could line up a personal injury attorney to represent the show were that the case. You know, us and all our college roommates, you know they would have thought it was a scam, though. Like, these guys planned it. Where's Joe? 844-967-2789. Yes. Indeed. Where are you, Joe? I know you sent me an article. I don't know if I'm ready for it, but we can go whatever direction you want to go.
Well, there's obviously we're still ruminating on this whole thing. So, you know, again, Biden has a terrible debate. His content was fine. Delivery sucked. Lost his chain of thought. If you know, compare it to what Trump did, said, acted, and compared the content, I think there's definitely choices there. The Biden campaign pushing out the surrogates, Clyburn, Wes Moore, you know, locally here, David Crawley, Chevy Johnson. You know, they are making the efforts, and it's not just here. It's all over the country. They're going to be spending lots of money here in the future. And, you know, the raging Cajun man, Carville, is one of the guys that's really been very harsh. And he's an old guy himself, man. He's been very, very critical of the president. Michael Shurer reporting over at the Washington Post. Biden needs support from millions of Americans who don't think he can do the job. His debate stumbles have brought into sharp focus the unprecedented task before him, getting votes from people who question his competence. Well, isn't that always a challenge, right?
No, a little bit here. Not usually. Barack Obama did not have this challenge. Turning out the votes of those that wondered if he was competent.
Ah, he was young. He was an outsider, man. He was primary, man. There were challenges, man. Yes, but I'll jump in. Crudy, and you can comment and opine as you wish. Biden's team continues to believe that tens of millions of Americans, perhaps as many as one in every five voters, will cast a ballot for him this year, despite the current conviction that he's already too old or not mentally competent to do the job. There is going to be a lot of hay made about up to the job or not without people stopping to say, is that a vote-driving metric? One Biden campaign pollster said in an interview on Sunday, speaking on the condition of anonymity.
Yes!
It is unclear at this point whether that is a metric that voters are going to use to decide their choice.
Let me delay this debate for just a moment. Let me step out of this thoughtful question. Is the competence of a candidate a vote driver? Yes. How could it not be?
Is Donald Trump competent?
I would say we have different standards for competence.
Come on. I mean, competence, you got to then define competence, man. You know, competence is competence.
Well, I would say from the ability to.
Republican competence is a thing. If you're a Democrat, I mean, most people sitting around the bar can understand what competence means and would agree on a basic general term.
And I don't believe it was demonstrated by either man at last Thursday's debate.
Or for that matter, CNN and the moderators, quote unquote. That was not competent work, in my humble broadcast opinion.
Well, that might have been journalistic malpractice, but I think it was by design, in part. It wasn't CNN's job to fact-check Trump in real time. That was a decision, strategically, they had made. It was Joe Biden's job.
No, I get that, and they can make that decision. It's the wrong decision. If you got someone on there, and you, Jake Tapper specifically, knowing some specific facts about a specific incident, and the guy made up some BS and says it to him, and the guy doesn't push on it, man, that's problematic. I don't give a damn what their strategic corporate mandate was, man. If someone says a lie to you on the radio, Crudy, you call them out on it, right? Regardless of the framework, wouldn't you? I mean, I would. If you know it to be a BS lie, how can you not, man? You know you can't hold your mouth shut, Crudy. You know you can't. Sooner or later, it's going to boil to the surface, and you're going to have to deal with it. You know that's the case. Why couldn't they do that? Anyway, so competence, is that a driving factor? I mean, that's a hell of a question, man. There's a lot of incompetent politicians out there, so I'm not clear that that is necessarily the case. But I'll jump back into the Washington Post. Biden's debate debacle on Thursday laid bare the bet, forcing the 81-year-old president to admit the following day that he had diminished capacity for walking and talking. The concerns that have flared within the party since have focused on a fear that the decline evident at the debate and in other recent public events will only continue, disqualifying him as a candidate. James Carville mentioned him. He's 79 years old, one of the most outspoken Democrats concerned about Biden's path. Quote, I am going through the same thing myself. I know it doesn't get any better. He said top donors expressed deep concern at a breakfast he attended Friday at the Aspen Ideas Festival. It's like seeing your grandma naked, he said of the debate.
Oh, God.
You can't get it out of your mind.
Oh, God.
Right, man. And it is, man. It is, man. It's been tough. It's been tough, digesting it, trying to filter it off and glean what wisdom we can out of it. But wow, man, Carville, that's a hell of a way to put it.
Very colorful.
Biden's team has argued that the concern over Biden's most basic abilities and competence will not be reflected at the ballot box because of Biden's record and the proportionate voter reversion to former President Donald Trump winning a second term. A little bit more here. Biden's campaign polling since the debate, they say, has confirmed their theory of the case. Though some 2020 Biden voters came away from the debate with a more negative view of the president, a large majority of those who were turned off said they would still vote for Biden. A significant share of the group also reconsidered their opinion when shown clips from Biden's Friday rally in North Carolina, where he demonstrated much more energy and declared, "I know how to do the job." Biden pollster Molly Murphy said, "Our job is to show voters that Joe Biden is not just up to the job, but he is currently doing the job that they sent him to do and has a vision for the second term." Now, the renewed effort to launch Monday with a new ad on MSNBC's Morning Joe used footage of Biden's energetic Friday speech in North Carolina to attack Trump, mixed with footage of the January 6th riot, darkened images of Trump and footage of Biden doing the job as president. The ad includes Biden's admission, "I know I am not a young man, and I know, like millions of Americans know, when you get knocked down, you get back up." So they're putting out the good Biden, you know, the next day Biden, not the debate Biden.
Well, what's the alternative? You're not putting out a mixtape of his Thursday night crap in the bed and rolling in it, Dom.
A June Gallup poll before the debate found that 67% of the country believed Biden was too old to be president, twice as high a share as concerns that faced late Senators John McCain, who was 72, and Bob Dole, who was 73, when he was the GOP nominee in 96. Now, Crudy, we talked about this one, posted this on the Devil's Advocate. The CBS News YouGov poll after the Thursday debate found that 72% said Biden does not have the mental and cognitive health to be president.
Now, let's just stop for a minute. I don't like doing math on the radio, but 72% is a hell of a plurality. When 72% of the electorate say this man's not capable of doing the job, And I have had some heartfelt emails sent to me over the course of the weekend. Crudy, don't give up on Joe Biden. Don't give up on the nation. You know, the alternative is chaos and fascism, and I certainly know that's the case. I didn't say I like the other guy. But I got to tell you, I see what 72% of Americans see. And I am very concerned. And I realize this is the week where the Biden campaign is going to try to tamp down this talk. And the donors will determine, the rich people, people we don't even know, people that write million-dollar checks will make the determination. And if that money starts drying up, and if the polling turns badly against Joe Biden, well, then there will be another conversation, perhaps. And I would say the New York Times editorial board, they put theirs out there. I felt that it was great that the Philadelphia Inquirer put out their yes. own version. I think we should share that later in the big show.
Absolutely.
They thought that Donald Trump should drop out for the sake of the nation. I think they make a hell of a compelling argument, Dom.
They absolutely do.
But if there's so much at stake, and I think there is, if there's so much at stake during this presidential campaign, I've told you, most important election of your lifetime, how can we just say, well, you know, we'll look past the frailties of Joe Biden. You know, he just has bad days, weeks, months, whatever
because
it is.
He's the only guy on the ticket, man. It's either him or Trump. And if I may, the same YouGov CBS poll, when asked of Trump, 54% said Trump should not be running.
What a horrible choice offered to the American people.
Isn't it, though? Isn't it, though? We get the government we deserve.
Is this the government we deserve? Because this has been very frustrating to me. You know, it's there's a certain amount of we know better than you American people. The electorate gets force-fed, and I think in some small part Donald Trump was a revolt against what the Republican Party establishment, the Scott Walkers. Nobody wanted to jacknut like that guy to run the nation. You know, they saw through his weak local clown act. And Donald
didn't see through Trump's. You know what I'm saying? I'm not clear, man.
Trump has his sort of WWE charisma. He's the apprentice. He had a show that cast him as the successful ruler of the universe sitting in his boardroom. You're firing people, right? I mean, what was Scott Walker's claim to fame? Cabinet injury?
You wouldn't hire me to run condos. You wouldn't hire me to run HP. You probably wouldn't hire me to run Young America's Foundation. Oh, all right. Forget it.
You know, it's the wardrobe, Dom. the precise number of brown shirts necessary to get that job. I'm not going to tell you that I've changed my opinion over the course of the weekend. I certainly don't want to run the candidate down any more than is necessary. There's plenty of trash I can talk about Donald Trump between now and Election Day. You know, I certainly think he is the evil. It's not a choice of two evils. Joe Biden's a good man. That's not the question for me. I don't like this framing of choice between two evils. I hear it all the time. No, one guy's evil. I have no doubt. One guy is evil. The other guy, though, 72% of the American people really question his ability to lead the nation. And when you've got a plurality of that sort, I can't pretend like I don't see it. I can't pretend like that's not the feedback I'm getting. And I can pretend like I don't feel it.
Should Biden be running or not? 72% said he should not run. Didn't say that he couldn't run the country. They just said he shouldn't be running. And Trump, 54%, said he should not be running.
I still don't like that math, Tom. That is horrible, horrible math for the nation, for the people.
You wouldn't hire me to be a neurosurgeon. You wouldn't hire me to run condos. You wouldn't want to hire me to run HP. You probably wouldn't want me to run. Wouldn't hire me to run the United States Senate.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You will hire us to be the greatest radio show ever, and it's free. Join us on the lines, 844-967-2789.
The depressing part, and we'd love to hear from you. Don't want to depress anyone. I'm feeling
Come on,
a little
man,
depressed.
Just tough enough.
What, suck it up? Just pretend like I didn't. Don't believe my lying eyes, but I saw Thursday night didn't happen. Just ignore that.
Oh, I'm not suggesting you live in an alternate universe, man. You just accept it and move on.
I can't move on. Not so readily. Not like you're talking about.
All right.
Here's what I would say. The Democratic Party has a few times over given us less palatable candidates and said, you must, we have effectively chosen for you. And the response from the Democratic Party, and I was not on these calls, but I have seen them widely reported. The DNC got on calls with donors and different party officials, let's just say, all around the nation, turned off the chat feature and took no questions and said, effectively, you will support the leader, Joe Biden. And people have legitimate concerns. They want to be heard, if nothing else. These are the people on the ground, the county party chairs, people of this nature. No dialogue desired with the people that actually have to go out there and sell this candidate on the ground to their neighbors, to their friends, get people to put out the Joe Biden yard signs, things of that nature, right? And if it's such an important choice for the American people, is it fair to the American people to tell us we got to vote for the guy that 72% of us don't perceive as being up and competent and ready for the job? Where I think, by contrast, a younger, more vibrant candidate, and again, until he is the nominee of the Democratic Party, you're going to hear me talking like this probably for another month and a half, Tom. I'm sorry to say it. And when Joe's the nominee, Joe's the nominee. But between now and then, he is not your Democratic nominee. He's the presumptive nominee, unless something changes. And I would suggest that something change, because you cannot overcome that math. That math is not Crudy being a spoil sport. That's 72% of the people saying, geez. Now, will I vote for Joe Biden if he's the Democratic nominee?
Yeah, are you one of those 72%?
And then yeah, still, I guess.
But you're also, so you're talking to yourself. You are one of those 72% who say at this point, he should not run, right?
I am one of those 72%.
And you're also one of those who are going to vote for him. You, Crudy, are defending the math that the campaign has been laying out. You're that voter.
I don't think everyone's going to live and die the elective cycles like I do. I strongly believe the other guy is the evil in the race. So I'm voting against evil. And I'll take your Weekend at Bernie's analogy. If I got to take a paper cutout of Joe Biden up to the White House, I mean, if the alternative is evil, yeah, I'll vote for Joe Biden. But it is a damn hubris plan to run him out there as the only choice for the Democratic Party and expect us to see this man and think, yeah, he's fit to serve till he's 86. And I think at this point, he needs to calm the seas. And I mean, good luck with that. Unless you're Moses, unless you can part them, I don't know how you're going to calm them. But I can say I will need something more than a weekend and a good speech in Raleigh to convince me. Because it's that James Carville analogy.
Convince you of what, though? You're already voting for him. Convince you to be a more motivated voter? I mean, what are you talking about?
You know who Charlemagne the God is, Tom?
Yes.
He's going to vote for Biden. Guess what? He's not going to go rally the troops for the man. He's not going to go endorse him. Not going to go tell people this is the only logical vote. Because it's very hard to stand with that position if you don't believe it. And it's very logical for me to say, don't vote for either of these two. I can certainly understand the logic. I think it's going to be disastrous for American politics. I think it's going to be disastrous for the ruling of this nation. You know, you talk about the government we deserve. Well, you know, we're being force-fed this god-awful choice. And the Democratic Party plays a part in this. And they can tell me that this is yummy, but it doesn't taste yummy to me. It tastes like thin gruel. And I would prefer a heartier meal, let's just say, to use a really bad analogy. I usually leave those for you, Dom, but today...
844-967-2789. A couple on the lines. Let's get to them quickly. Sherry from Horicon, you are up. Welcome, Sherry. What do you got?
Hey, Sherry.
Oh, I love you guys. Listened to you for many years. I have a Democrat daughter going to turn 30. I have a Republican son who's 26. My daughter's more libertarian, and her partner, her sweetheart, he's just not going to vote. And he said many of his friends aren't going to vote because they don't want an old man doing it. And I'm like, you know what? Then vote the party. You know, oh God, I'm 63. I voted my party. I believe in my party. Vote my party. It doesn't matter who it is because we have Kamala after, you know? And
right,
we're good.
Right. Joe doesn't got to make it the whole time, Sherry. He's just got to make it to January. Thank you for the call, 844-967-2789.
He's got to make it past the Dem convention, and then we'll see. Come back, a happy hour, a Monday edition. It's July. It's steamy in here, like a summer day.